The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I feel like we need to talk about the fact that two men that are in, one in is 79, one is 83, I believe. Yes.
Is this a porn we're talking about? What game am I aiming my mind?
It's a porn that I feel like both of us sadly would watch. Al Pacino at 83 years old and Robert De Niro at 79 years old are both either expecting a child or just had a child.
Well, Robert De Niro, whoever he, I don't know the name of his child's mother. They've had a child. And Al Pacino is expecting a child.
What's happening? Why is this happening? Why is a 79-year-old bringing a child into the world?
I mean, don't,
like, I know what it is because, like, there's like some 29-year-old that's like SD that wants to get into the will. Like, I get that part of it, but like,
sure, but this kid's gonna grow up without his, you already know he's gonna grow up without his father.
You would think that Robert De Niro would say, no, I shouldn't have another child. He has seven children.
Do you think that, like, what is the process even like when he is intimate with a woman? Like, does he look at her and just say, if you do get pregnant, I'm not going to be involved?
I don't even think there's conversations are being had like that. I think he's happy that someone that's not 79 also is like happy to like see him naked is what I think is happening.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think. But like, it's out of control.
What kind of porn do you think they watch?
Like, I don't even want to know.
There's no way he's just like popping a pill and then that's the part that confuses me the most is, are they, is this an engineered pregnancy or are these men able to participate in the creation? Because if so, I've been very misled about what happens when you're 80 years old with your, with your penis. Can we say penis here?
We can say penis.
Great.
I don't know. Like, no, there's like Cialis, Viagra, whatever the generic versions are. There's a cocktail that's being made beforehand.
But I thought that that was for people like in their 60s. I feel like those things would kill someone Al Pacino's age.
Oh, you think? Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, he's done worse. No.
He has children with Beverly D'Angelo, who I am obsessed with. Do you know her? This actress, no. She was the mother.
Is this the twins?
She's the original mother in the Vacation films. Beverly D'Angelo. She's got a very smoky voice.
Yes. And okay, they, here I am. I'm seeing her.
Yeah. She's really fierce. And they've had, I think behind this baby, she has the youngest of Al Pacino's kids.
Twins.
Yeah. And I'd be afraid of like dethroning Beverly D'Angelo. I would think that she'd come after you, that she'd want the most recent children.
I mean, it's just, I don't get it. Like, I just don't get it. Like, what, why are these people not being held accountable?
Well, I mean, they are going to be held accountable. He's going to have to.
No, I'm saying like why is anyone freaking out? If Dame Judi Dench was a mother at like whatever age she is, your girl, people would be having a fucking mental breakdown. If Meryl Streep was like, I'm doing a surrogate child and I'm having a baby right now, people would be jumping out of windows. If, am I wrong?
You're not wrong. I mean, I think I'm sitting here quietly because I know what I want to say, but I don't want it to come out rudely. But I just think that even people who are raised solely by their fathers, when you think of parenthood, you don't think of the dads doing most of the work. I mean, I think that is, no matter what your generation is, it's like people would be outraged because mom has to be there all the time. That's what people think, that a mother has to be there for their child. And it would be cruelty to the child for a mother to have a kid when she's 70. But if a guy has a kid when he's in his 80s, people just celebrate the fact that he's still able to shoot a load.
I'm like at a loss for words. It's crazy, right?
Are you upset that we're not acting more outraged and comedically at these two geezers are about to be fathers again?
It's just crazy to be like, I want to hear like what the conversations were that these people had when they were like, let's have a kid. Like how did Robert De Niro say like, yes, I do want to have a child with you, 29-year-old wife? Like, do you know what I mean?
I don't know that there even was
a conversation.
In fact, there are many news reports that are saying that Al Pacino demanded a DNA test because he didn't believe that he was able to impregnate someone who was 29 years old.
What? Okay, so they're being trapped. That's what's happening.
MSN, TMZ, Jezebel. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of sites here that are saying he demanded a DNA test. Let me go to the TMZ one. He did not believe he could impregnate anyone. Al Pacino, this is the TMZ article, was so certain he could not get his girlfriend or anyone else pregnant, he did not believe the baby was his at first and got a DNA test for proof. Sources tell TMZ. The 83-year-old actor, we're told, had medical issues that would have commonly prevented a man from impregnating a woman.
Yowza.
We're told Al had no idea until 2 months ago that 29-year-old Noor Alfala was pregnant. And that when he found out, he was shocked. I mean, I'm waiting for the next line of this article to be, according to Mr. Pacino, he has not had a proper erection since the Reagan administration.
Well, this is like another Paychex article says, meet Al Pacino's pregnant girlfriend who has dated Mick Jagger, comma, billionaire investor.
I can't.
Like, what? Oh, now we're coming into view. Now I get it. Now it's happening.
Right. This was a goal.
It's what I said at the beginning. It's like, I want to have a human bond with you so that I'm somehow in your will whenever you die in 2 years.
But how much, like, you know, how much money you think you're going to get? Like, if you have Robert De Niro's seventh child.
Yeah, you're right.
What you can, first of all, so he's going to divide up his estate into seven people. You think his adult children are going to be like, yeah, I'm not going to fight having to split this seven ways with a fetus.
Like literally like a newborn child.
No, if I'm whoever Robert De Niro's oldest child is probably
older than
60.
Me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's probably 60.
Older than both of us combined.
Yes. It's like that person is just going to be like lawyer. Like there's absolutely no way.
It's crazy. Like I just don't even, I don't know. Do I sound insane that I'm just saying the same thing over and over again? It baffles me.
No. I waited on Al Pacino several times when I worked at Joe Allen as a waiter in the summer in the late 90s. Yeah.
And?
Utterly silent, didn't engage at all, only to barely whisper his order.
Order.
Yep. Not unpleasant, but no eye contact, no trouble, but no sort of, I don't remember him under or over tipping. He was just sort of.
Just there.
There. One time I'd been waiting on him for about 15 minutes before I even realized it was Al Pacino. Everyone in the kitchen was going nuts. I was like, oh shit, I waited on him before. And I just didn't even recognize him.
And I mean, look at these pictures in Page Six. I mean, he looks like the Crypt Keeper. Like
he's very fucking old. I mean, he's literally 83 years old.
I mean, never forget him in House of Gucci, the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And he, like, we were all like, is he going to die like right now? Like, we were like, how is he still alive? Like, oh, wait, first this Page all, Six article. I... Wait, this Page Six article is like her previous relationships and it's pictures of her and Mick Jagger. And she's like happy as a clam.
I wonder why they broke up. They probably had so much in common.
Well, he probably was
what
like,
was
you're
it
too
that
old.
Al had that
he
Mick
was
didn't.
Probably like, you're too old now. Like, you fucking disgusting piece of shit. And she's like, I'm 21. And he's like, yeah, ew, get away from me.
Noor Al-Fala is technically too old for Leonardo DiCaprio, so now she's pregnant with Al Pacino's child.
Literally. Clitorally.
Yep.
Wait, you were going to say something about House of Gucci and I cut you off.
just that I loved it and I've seen it more than once and will watch it again. I think I'm not putting it on the same list as Citizen Kane.
That's insane.
I am putting it on the same list as Mommy Dearest, though, because it
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm upset that it's not more culty, ridiculously recognized, and I wish it had not come out as an awards contender.
That
sort of
tainted
it for me. It should have just come out July 4th weekend so we could all go dressed as the characters.
Yes, that is the thing, is that they made a movie where they were like trying to one be like campy and like B movie but then also try to win Oscars, and it's like
right.
That's you can't do that. And like what it was, I mean, I could do
I think with House of
Gucci, that was wrong with it, but it
I
was,
think that everyone, was it Ridley Scott? It was, right?
I can't even commit it to memory who it was.
I think that the director and the entire cast were pulling a Joe Millionaire on Lady Gaga. I think everyone involved with the production knew that it was camp and nobody told her. So she delivered this performance.
That was like, she thought
that is
was like
so a, yeah. Earnest and so like over the top in a trying to get an Oscar way. And Jared Leto basically showed up and was like, gave the equivalent of fart jokes as a performance and was still brilliant in his own right. I might add. Like,
sure.
Come on.
He's on the list of people that we need to fix. There's some people have been saying that, and they go, and I don't know why, but I feel like he needs it. That's what most people say. They're like, I can't really pin it down, but like, he's not well. And I'm like, okay.
He's definitely not. He's also like drank the elixir from Death Becomes Her. Like, the Met Gala, it's like, you know, he has. Like, that is not normal that he is my age and he looks younger than you. I mean, it's insane
to me. It's crazy. No, it's insane. He is a weird one, but oh God, that movie. Like, why did they have accents?
Well,
why did they have accents?
Yep.
It didn't make any sense. What does that make sense?
I am so happy we're talking about this. You know, if we had been doing this podcast 2 years ago, we would have done three episodes about House of Gucci.
A trilogy. We would have done
We would have split it into three acts.
We would have done it in three acts. We would have had as many episodes on House of Gucci as Demi Lovato has documentaries on YouTube. But do you think that, I mean, they're poking holes in condoms. That's what's happening, right?
With these men. These women? I don't know.
Like, these women are poking holes in I mean, they're not even wearing condoms because they're like, I'm 90 years old. I can't
I don't
do
know,
this.
But Pacino and De Niro have been around for such a long time. They'd have to be, like, wise to a scenario like that. They've been in movies where that happened to their characters. I mean, they'd have to know. Don't they have people around them? Don't they have adult children supervising them to make sure they don't have siblings? I got much more annoyed about this than I thought I would the more that I think about
it. No, because it's infuriating. You're like, why are you doing this? And like, that's the other thing. I didn't want to get too harsh on it, but it really is like, think about it. Like, this child's going to be born and then their dad is going to die like when they're 2 years old from old age. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, like not from like, oh, it's an accident happened and then it was a tragic thing. Like everyone will be like, oh yeah, that's sad. But like they're 90 years old. So we get it.
I just don't feel like it was deliberate on their part. I don't think either of the, we know Pacino's not deliberately having children because he wanted a DNA test, which since she hasn't had the baby yet, mean they had to do that, you know, the complicated way.
When you get a load of this girl with Mick Jagger, you're going to believe it, that it wasn't deliberate.
I mean, she is, look, I understand what Al Pacino sees in her. She's quite beautiful. Fetching.
Oh, she's absolutely beautiful. That's not what we're here about, but it's just
crazy. Smokes cigarettes. No, I'm not interested anymore. I hope.
Oh my God. Every picture of him.
I hope he sues her for full custody. Can you imagine someone ordering Al Pacino full custody of his infant?
I mean, if you see these photos of them together, he looks like he doesn't know where he is.
No, it's like, it looks like Weekend at Bernie's and that he's Bernie and she's just carting him around.
Because that's like what it is. This is insane. Well, I mean, what else is there to say?
What are we doing wrong, ladies? What are we doing wrong? Speaking of fucked up families.
Speaking of people that are older than sin, here we go.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right. An email came across our desk, and when I say our desk, I mean Dominic's website. And a certain someone said that they wanted to be on our show. He sent it to me. I opened the email. I'm like, oh, someone wants to be on our show. Let's read what it is. I've listened to this person on podcasts for, when I say probably half of a decade, I mean half of a decade. This is a big fish. You know her from By the Book. You know her from her podcast, Daily Fail. You know her from basically being on every single podcast that's ever existed. She is a mogul. She is the moment. She is an icon. Her name is Kristen Meinzer. Thank you so much for being on this show.
Oh my God, that intro. Oh, I'm so glad you recorded that, because I'm going to play that back to myself whenever I'm feeling down, because that was so beautiful. Because
it should be your ringtone.
Yes, I'm going to do that. But the reason I reached out to you and asked to be on your show is because I fell in love with it the minute I listened to the first episode. And I've been listening to every episode ever since then. The energy you bring, the sense of humor. You two are just a delight. I love this show so much. So I knew it was a little bit bold to just reach out of the blue when we don't know each other and say, I want to be on your show.
Absolutely not. No, that was exactly the right move. Because I never in my life would think that you were listening to our podcast. So it's a delight for us to know that you are.
Chris lost it because I sadly was unfamiliar with your work until you reached out. And once I emailed Chris, I said, do you know this person? And he launched into the stratosphere quicker than I've ever seen him before. Still to this day, he can't even say 5 years. He had to say half a decade. Yeah. like a royal reporter.
No, I truly, and also friend of the show, Rebecca Bregman, was the one that showed me your podcast and By the Book with Jolenta Greenberg. And I listened to it for years and years and years.
Oh,
it was like
so
one
honored.
Of my main podcasts I listened to for a long, long time.
Thank you so much. Oh, that means so much to me. It really does.
It's so weird to hear your voice and also see your face. It's sorry. I know. I'm actually legitimately fangirling. Like, this is so embarrassing. But, like, it's so weird to be like, oh, I'm actually really interacting with this person whose voice I know so well. If you said two words and I closed my eyes, I would know exactly who it was.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding. Well, some people say I have a distinct Minnesotan accent. And some people hear it, some people don't. So that's so funny. That cracks me up.
Kristen, if Chris is making you nervous, just text me privately and say, pretend Pretend that the server collapsed. We'll bring you to an undisclosed location. I am immediately entranced by you because I know that you are a royal reporter, which is maybe one of my favorite job descriptions ever. I mean, do you write that on your passport? I'm a royal reporter.
I have mentioned it at passport control. Like, for example, when I was on my way to Harry and Meghan's wedding, what are you traveling for? Business pleasure? Oh, you know, Harry and Meghan's wedding, covering that. So it does come up every once in a while in odd places that's one of my many jobs I have.
Can you, before we launch into today's client, can you briefly tell us how one goes about becoming a royal reporter and what your access has been over the years?
Well, I'm more of a royal watcher than a royal reporter. I look at what's happening with the royals. I look at it through an intersectional feminist lens. I look at what's being reported, if it is racist, if it is sexist. I look at what speeches are being given, what good and bad ways the royals are behaving, what they're saying, what they're not saying. And then I talk in the press about that. And it all started out really because I was brought up reading the National Enquirer with my Nana. She helped teach me how to read.
It's beautiful.
With the help of trash.
It's a beautiful success story that the National Enquirer needs to put on the front page. Yes,
that's what they're known for, is bringing families together.
Yes, and childhood literacy. It's really what they're about. Yes.
Right next to like the Bat Boy. Like, what's like the stories that have been on like the cover for like clitorally the entire time that I've been alive? Like,
clitorally. Oh my God. It's the first clitorally of the episode. I'm so excited. But yeah, I was just brought up reading the rags and loving them and also just being mad at them. And so I was always following this stuff from a very young age. And I think there's a lot to be learned from pop culture and following celebrities and so on. I think there's a lot to be learned about what are our values? What do we think is important? What do we think is not? Who are our enemies? Who are our friends? And so on. And so I grew up reading this stuff. And then at a certain point, I was working in public radio as a culture producer. And William and Kate were going to get married, and the staff was like, is this worth covering? And I'm like, yes, this has to be covered.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
And I will be the person to cover it for you. I will be on air and I will cover this. And so I did. And from that moment forward, I've been covering the royals. And after Meghan and Harry got married, I became more and more of a person that I think the press turned to when they wanted a quote, because I am a woman of color from the U.S. I'm not Black, I'm Asian, but I think that because Meghan is a woman of color from the U.S., I think a lot of press outlets liked that I wasn't just a very old white British man who was speaking about the royals, which is a lot of royal commentary over the years. That's who's been talking. So I think they liked having somebody who was closer to Meghan's age, who was American, who's not white.
And a woman.
Yes.
And not an old man.
Yes, all of that.
Are you willing to shame the public radio station that dared to ask whether or not covering the wedding of the future King of England was quote unquote worth it?
It was WNYC, New York Public Radio.
Wow. I am flabbergasted.
I think they just wanted to, you know, have a few lines about it. And I'm like, no, I'm going into the streets and I'm talking to people about this. I am reporting on it. Yeah.
We all like woke up early. It was at like 3 a.m. for us, wasn't it? Like we woke up at like 5 a.m. to watch it. Why would I mean.
Yes. And it was crazy. A really exciting moment. Like a commoner is marrying into the royal family. Mind you, a multimillionaire commoner and very beautiful and so on. But she was very different from other people who'd married into the family before. And, you know, this is the future King of England. This is Diana's son. Our beloved Diana's son is getting married. Why would we not want to cover this?
Well, we should. I mean, we're sort of already talking about them, or we're about to. So we might just segue into our clients this week. We wanted the heaviest hitters possible to come in here. This is why Kristen is here, to speak about King Charles and Queen Consort Camilla. These are the clients this week. Now, why would these two people need fixing? Well, How dare you? How dare you even ask that? Why are you here?
I mean, the running joke of our podcast is that, like, no matter what happens in the UK, everyone just, like, blames Camilla Parker Bowles for everything, right?
That's Remy and Dominic. My theory is that everything bad that ever happens in the UK can be traced directly back to Camilla Parker Bowles. Mad cow disease, the Spice Girls breaking up, Elton John retiring. She's responsible for all of these horrific things that have changed the geography of our world.
Yes. I mean, at this point, her attempt to fix her public image has also done something not very savory as well. She decided to fix her public image. She would hire an executive from the Daily Mail to be her new head of PR. The same Daily Mail, which has invaded the privacy of Harry and Meghan and Wills and Kate, the same Daily Mail that has just published trash about her stepkids. She's like, oh, I'm going to hire them to be my PR reps now. So
wait,
even
is this
trying
new? Is this
to fix
recent?
Her image, she's just made her image worse.
And that's wow. recently?
Very recently, yes.
All that's of this has insane. Happened. Wait,
yes.
I didn't even know
year.
That.
Yes.
I didn't know that either. And it's so, it is intentional, obviously, right? I mean, she's sending a message to some very specific people by hiring that person, right?
Yes, yes. But okay. But if that was supposed to fix her image, it's like, yes, now the Daily Mail is writing better stories about you, but everybody now knows that the reason they're doing it is because you've gotten into bed with them, but they still just publish trash about her stepkids.
Huh.
Oh, God. That's really bad.
It is. This is a bad PR move on her part. Very bad.
Well, and the thing that's funny is, like, in Harry's book Spare, he, like, alleges that she has a really good relationship with them. He basically alleges that Camilla, like, was the one feeding all the stories to them. And this, like, definitely confirms that question mark, right?
Yes. Yes. And, I mean, that's not speculation. It is very public that
that's
she
fact.
Hired the Daily Mail editor to be her person, like her PR person. So, that's not gossip. That's just a fact.
She's so cunning. Here's another fun historical fact. In 2004, I was in a gay bowling league and the name of our team was Camilla Parker Bowles.
Oh,
I'm not even kidding.
That is so good. That is
and
so
we misspelled
good.
The last name.
Oh my gosh.
Truth.
I love that. Did everybody cheat on their spouses in your bowling league and pretend to be tampons?
I mean, eventually, yeah. I mean, yeah. I swear that that's true. And the following year, we were Beyonce Bowles.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's
See
good.
How gay and stupid this bowling league is?
No, that's not stupid I'm at sorry. All. That's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Where did you do this bowling league?
At Chelsea Piers.
I'm dead.
Of course.
I swear to you.
Where else?
Oh, my God.
I am really struck. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here as you're telling us these circumstances, Kristen, and I'm thinking, like, wow, like, Camilla's really cunning. And I'm sort of surprised that I am even bewildered by how cunning she is, given what she's already accomplished. Literally.
Oh,
and
no,
you know, we only slut fame on this podcast for sure. And it's not, it's not, there's nothing here about sex or physicality or anything going on, but she wormed her way into a situation that she had been, I guess, left out of, and she wanted in it, and she got there. I know it's like, it's so long and complicated because I feel like I don't want to throw so many details, but like, Diana knew about Camilla when she married Charles, didn't
100%.
She?
Yes, yes. She came across a gift that Charles was giving to Camilla. I believe it had two engraved C's in it for Charles and Camilla, and Diana's like, what's this? He's like, oh, it's for my very dear Camilla. And it's like, should you really be giving these kinds of intimate, personalized, engraved gifts to somebody else when I'm about to be your wife? Really? Really? This is
right.
what you're
going to
do?
International superstar that everyone knows. Like,
right?
You couldn't be more famous if you tried.
Right.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I mean, I don't want to just blame Camilla here. This is something that, like, Charles... If he would have had a spine and stood up to his mom and said from the get-go, like, I actually really like Camilla, I want to marry her. If he hadn't flip-flopped so much on Camilla. I mean, Camilla ended up marrying somebody else while Charles was kind of like, oh, I don't know. Let me think about this. I don't know if I can stand up to my mom and say, I want to marry you, da, 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 da. And then meanwhile, Camilla got tired of waiting and married somebody else. And maybe if, you know, if Charles was a little bit stronger, he would have just been with Camilla from the get-go and married her. But he didn't. And then eventually his mom's like, well, you have to marry a suitable girl, a barely legal teenager. And here's somebody who's aristocratic. Because
he was
like your cousin.
He was old. Yeah. He was like, wasn't he 30 or in his 30s when he married Diana?
He was in his 30s. And when they got engaged, she was 19.
And she came from a pedigree line and Camilla didn't, right?
No, no, no. Camilla comes from the aristocracy as well. They both do. They both do. But
then what was the issue? Why couldn't he just get permission to marry her?
There's a few different ideas out there about maybe why he couldn't have.
You can say it's her hair here, Kristen. You're safe. No one's going, oh, it's 2023. We don't talk about people's physical appearance. But the hair, though.
The hair, but I mean, one of the main reasons supposedly was because Camilla was not a virgin. And you know what? Apparently, people in the royal family used to care a great deal about whether or not virgins were marrying to the family, which, like, who cares if she's a virgin or not? You know, but that was apparently one of the factors that came into play about why Charles couldn't marry her. Because she was experienced and know what she liked. Apparently, that's a problem.
Well, the thing that's funny is, like, if you want a refresher on this whole thing, you can just watch the most recent season of The Crown, because they really delve into it, like, in the last, or maybe the last two seasons, really, like, really show you everything you need to see.
The Crown made me want to be Camilla's drinking buddy, to be honest. Like, if I don't know who they are before I'm watching The Crown, and I just meet them for the very first time, Camilla's the one I'm texting.
Yeah, morning, correct.
Probably.
I think they made her seem like a dynamic, sexy character on the show.
Yeah.
And they, I think, fairly depicted Diana as very naive and childlike because she was a child.
Because she was a child.
Right. Right.
I mean, 2 years earlier, and Charles would have been pulling a Wilmer Valderrama. So.
Seriously.
Yes. We've had him pop up on this podcast way too many times for my liking.
Oh gosh, she was so young. And
well, he was supposed to date her sister, right? Wasn't he supposed to go on a date with her sister and like met her and was like, ooh, you're younger and prettier. Like, ding dong.
But it was actually Diana's older sister, and Diana's older sister's like, not feeling it. Not into you.
Wow.
I just love.
I just love that Diana's older sister's like, I'm gonna pass on that. No.
Well, don't you love too that they like made Charles in like the most recent seasons, Dominic West, who's like, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful human beings to ever walk this planet. I'm like, to go, like, it's an absolute crime against humanity that King Charles is being portrayed by like one of the hottest human beings alive.
It's a little weird, isn't it? Like, did he have
that's what pushed that's what pushed Queen Elizabeth over the edge. That's why she finally died.
My son because is she not was like, you are literally watch this.
But see, like, you're giving me Imelda fucking Staunton, and Dominic West shows up to play this horse that I gave birth to. Are you insane? And she passed away. Dominic West casting is stunning.
It's like insane. Especially because like the Diana that they cast is like looks exactly like her. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like if you close your eyes and open them real quick and close them again, you wouldn't think it was Diana. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, she looks exactly like her.
Yep.
Yes. But can we just talk about some of the other things that like Charles has done wrong, other than like, you know, it's not just that he married a barely legal girl and didn't stand up to his mom. It's like, can we talk about Tampon Gate? Do we all know about Tampon Gate?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, let's stop beating around the bush and just get
let's
to
just
it.
Get,
so,
literally, let's
get beat
to
around
it.
The bush.
In the bush. Or yes. Whatever, in between the bush. Like, what?
First of all, Tampon Gate should be spoken at a campfire with everyone's family annually. That's how important it is.
So for those who aren't familiar with Tampon Gate, Charles and Camilla resumed their relationship. They dated before Diana, and they continued to date after Diana. And I'm using the word date politely here. Date is not really what they were doing.
Camilla was actually Charles's date to his own wedding reception.
Is that weird? So strange. It was so weird.
And, you know, they would call each other up. They would spend time together. All of their vacations would be set up. All of Diana and Charles's vacations would be set up. So they could be really close to Camilla on all her vacations and so on. And when they would talk on the phone, Charles and Camilla would, I guess what they thought they were doing was talking dirty to each other, but the rest of us would say, that's not very good dirty talk. That, like, because his dirty talk included, I wish I could be a tampon so I could live inside you forever, which, by the way, toxic shock syndrome, that's what's going to happen if you leave a tampon forever. That's not something you want to do. Like, what's going to happen to that tampon? It's just going to be a big ball of bacteria, right? There's a reason why the box says do not leave in for longer than 8 hours.
Well,
toxic shock.
That sort of shit does get the royal family hard, apparently.
Cousins, I mean, and bacteria. Those are their two favorite.
It's creative.
Like, well, I mean, it's all in their bloodline. The bacteria, look at them. Look at Prince Andrew's children.
Dear God.
Like, they could belong in a tent.
I mean, that
tent.
Was... I mean, so, like, what? That then, like, is on the front page of the news. Didn't, like, someone intercept it, like, the broadcast or something? What happened?
Yeah. There was some phone tapping going on, and they hit the jackpot. They didn't think they were going to come across that.
Can you imagine being the reporter that day who hears that for the first time? It's just like, who do you... I would first make my own copy and save it on my phone just to prove that I was the one who found it. I didn't even know who I would call first.
And, like, what do you even say? Like, so.
I would hold it hostage. I don't just feel like, yeah. I have this. I'm not giving you.
I guess I would call, like, Tampax or OB or one of those companies and say, I think I have a great idea for your next advertising campaign. This is how great tampons are.
The future king of England has endorsed, not only endorsed your product, wants to be.
Yeah, he would like to be your product. Yes. Yeah.
So obviously that was like scant. Like, obviously this then becomes front page news, and like the entire world then reads
for months. Like, they're Saturday Night Live skits about it. Yeah.
Yes. Like, they're dragged through the mud today. Still right now. We're doing it right
now. We still talk about Tampon Gate today. And it's been decades and we still talk about it.
And this is while he's with Diana, correct?
Yes, it is.
They're married.
Diana's alive and married to him. And this is what comes on front page news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, if that's not something we need to fix, I don't know what is.
That definitely needs
I know
to be
this
fixed.
Is rude. I cannot shut my mic off, but I have to lower my desk. So
okay,
I don't.
Go for it. Go for it.
I'm leaving this in the podcast.
Don't you dare. I have to lower it. It literally sounds like so like grandma's in literally her like, motorized staircase.
It's like Dr. Evil. It's like Dr. Evil. Like,
before you got here, Chris was like, are you going to stand? I said, I am for the whole first one. And we're halfway through it. And I'm like, oh, God.
Wait, where I'm gonna just.
I wish I had Camilla's stamina. That's all I could say. Her perseverance. I can't even stand for 20 minutes.
But there's also so much more to fix beyond all of this, don't you think? With Charles and Camilla, even today, not just in the past, not just in the Diana years, like
sure.
I still think more to fix.
It's an onion that we're peeling many, many layers back, because it's like you want to fix them personally, like to see if they can shine up their own image. But I'm also thinking about, are we fixing the monarchy in general? Because this is sort of, they're a fun duo to be the duo ushering in a new era of the monarchy. You know, they are
but the thing that's
old
sad.
As hell and very unpopular. So
yes.
For them to be the ones who are sort of taking the mantle from the longest serving, most beloved public servant in the history of that nation is just like, you're going from Queen Elizabeth to the tampon lady. It's just, there's a decline in the perceived elegance of the institution with the mayor, and they have to fix it.
Well, and it's hard because, like, you go from Queen Elizabeth, who's the longest reigning monarch. Tell me if I'm wrong. The longest reigning monarch in the history of the crown, correct?
Yes.
She would have to be, right?
Yeah. And like someone that has been the queen my entire life. You know what I mean?
Everybody's like, entire life. Everybody who's alive on this planet.
More than two of your lives.
Yes. Yeah, true. More than two of my lives. Actually, you're right.
Yeah. And
like,
yeah.
To go from that, someone we've seen so long, to someone who we like, when I was a kid and we like learned about the British like crown, like we would joke like, oh, he's never going to be the king because she's going to live forever.
Right.
Like that's like, this is like the inevitability of like he's like been the butt of the joke the whole time. Like Harry is like the spare and is like upset about it. Like you, at least you're not your fucking dad. You know what I mean? Right. Who like everyone is like, LOL, you're still like a baby because you've never had to actually have any responsibility because your mom has been the queen your whole life and like will never die.
And he gets his job in his mid 70s. Like now it's time for my job.
Can you imagine?
In your mid 70s? No.
And it's like time to hang it up at this point. That's what's crazy. It's like, I feel like so many people were like, it should just skip right over to William. Like it should just be William and Kate. Like we should just get rid of like.
I think he considers that as well. I'm sure he isn't thinking to himself that he's going to be in that job when he's 95. I think that he probably does want a few out of the spotlight years with Camilla, who I hope he calls her Cammy because she deserves it. Like behind, when he wants to spend like 5 or 10 good adult years with Cammy alone, being in love in, you know, in one of their cottages upstate or up country. What is it fucking called? The countryside, up in the countryside. One of their spare,
I think
their
he's spare had castles. Plenty of time with Cammy to do that. They've been, you know, enjoying all of their
they've never had to do anything, Dominic. Something. Yeah.
It's like,
right?
Maybe you should work because
I guess.
I think that they are very precious. They did not have to pay any inheritance tax, by the way, when the queen died. They're worth billions of dollars. And to me, that's also very bad for their public image right now because they have a real cost of living crisis in the UK right now. Some people are like, ooh, should I pay for my electricity or for food for my kids today? And meanwhile, you have these billionaires who are choosing not to pay inheritance tax. I mean, this is also like something that needs to be fixed.
When I was in London in December, we came home like, I want to say at like 11:30 midnight one night. We were going to our apartment and there was like, I don't want to say a garbage truck, but like looked similar to a garbage truck, but smaller. And there were these guys outside and they had this big, huge metal pole and they were sticking it into the ground and they were turning it. And my friend went to go take a shower after we had just been. And she's like, oh, there's no hot water. And so she took like a cold shower. And the next morning, all the hot water was on and it was fine. But when we came home that one night, I was like, they're turning our water off. Like they're turning off the hot water at night to like conserve hot water because of the energy crisis here. Like it was crazy. Like, so when we would try to take showers, like after midnight, like there was no hot water at all. But like at 7 a.m. there was hot water galore.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I was like, is this you have happening this guy in- who has like multiple castles.
Yes.
And
I was like, this is the water truck. Like they're turning off our water. Look, see, like this is the hot water. They're turning it off. Like we don't have, and we went up and we tried the hot water and there was no hot water.
So was this just happening at Airbnbs or was it happening at nice hotels
no,
as well?
I don't know, but like, okay. I think,
well, I think you learned your lesson.
Okay.
An Airbnb. We're not discussing.
Well,
this.
We hate Airbnb. Again, another reason. This was part of the whole reason
just
why I don't like Airbnb.
Stay at the Mayfair, please.
Yeah. Well, I don't have like $17 million.
I don't either. About, you just pretend.
What do you think
just
he is?
Pretend.
The King of England? Come on.
Yeah,
you
really.
Can't afford that.
No, but it was great. So basically, like, to sum it all up, I went to London and like at 11:30, the hot water turns off if you're not like the king, basically.
Yeah.
So
they are the only ones with hot water. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Oh, can you imagine?
Buckingham Palace was the only place that got hot water. They don't live. Do they live there still or no? They live in another.
They live all over the place because they have multiple castles. They have so many castles and they'll say like, oh, no, but I don't live there. I just summer there. Oh, I just am there for the holidays. I'm just there. And it's like, no, you like rotate between like half a dozen castles all the time. You essentially have multiple homes. They're very comfortable.
What are are those? What must those problems be like? What do those people? I guess we see it. We saw him throw a fit recently when he had to use a pen.
Remember oh my
that?
God!
Oh yeah, yes. He threw it.
It's like you're supposed to be the head of state and you're yelling at a pen. Like
he did. He lost it.
Yes, and it's like, and the fact that somebody who is supposed to be a stabilizing force. Above all, that's what the monarchy is supposed to be, is a stabilizing force. And you're LOL. So unstable that you're freaking out and yelling over a pen and caught on camera yelling at a pen. Like, no, Charles, this is your job is to be strong and steady and stable. Mm-mm. No, you can't get mad at writing implements like this.
You know, what's like funny, I mean, because that's the thing that's like funny is that the whole, I think the biggest problem is that like no one takes him seriously. Yeah. Like after Tampon Gate and then him being like a 70-year-old, like that doesn't actually have to do like a real job and unless it's like a public appearance as the Prince of Wales. Like he hasn't had to like do anything in real life until right now.
Right. He is like, he is the very definition of bumbling. Like yes. When you think of a member of the royal family who's bumbling, that is him. But you know what the thing is about them? I'm sure a lot of British people must feel this way as well, is that I know that whatever they stand for is an era that no longer exists. And I think with like income inequality, like it's almost a joke to think that any nation needs a monarchy, especially economically with what's going on the planet right now. But if we woke up tomorrow and someone had said the monarchy was abolished in the UK, I would be upset about it. Like, I feel better knowing they have a king and queen. I don't know why. It just, I think, I don't think that the world could handle it if the UK didn't have a royal family.
Well, this is a 1,000-year-old institution, and anything that's been going on this long, if it suddenly disappeared, I think would be a shock to the planet. It would be a shock to a lot of people's identities. I mean, my husband's from New Zealand, and that is their king. I mean, people over the world, in different parts of the world, this is their king. They are either, you know, in the past colonies, now they're part of the Commonwealth.
Right.
And they have had their hand in so many things around the world, good and bad, a lot of it bad. I mean, the transatlantic slave trade, a lot of issues of classism, of racism, can be pinpointed right back to the royal family. Look at all of the riches that they have. How much of that was built on the backs of either serfs or enslaved people? How much of it was literally stolen?
Well,
from
technically,
other
history, yes, it's kind of stealing. I mean, technically, yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, yeah. So there's a lot of problems there, but I also think that at the same time, if they suddenly disappeared, I think it would send shockwaves throughout the world, because anything that's 1,000 years old and just disappears is, you know, that's going to change things.
It's also, I think, like, so funny because it's like, this is just all a formality for all of us, like, to, like, right. Go through these years until, like, William and Kate become, like, the king and queen of the
right.
Country. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we're just, like, waiting it out at this point. And, like, I think he's also waiting it out. Like, they're both waiting it out. They're like, well, like, yeah, we're going to just do what we can do. And then when we die, it'll be fine. Like they're not even, like, really trying that hard, I don't think. It really is, like,
I mean,
them.
If this is
like,
their version of trying, this is not good. This is really bad if
knows,
this is their version of trying.
Yeah, everyone knows, like, what the situation is, including them. Like,
yeah, I mean, and yet at the same time, they're not going to abdicate because Charles is like, you cannot rip this out of my cold, dead hands.
No, he's like, I've waited.
Because I have waited so long for this. This is the reason I had to marry Diana, that teenager who I didn't even like, you know?
Right.
This throne is the reason why I didn't just marry Camilla when I was younger. This throne is the reason why, I mean, Charles sees himself very much as a victim. He says that in his memoir that he collaborated with Jonathan Dimbleby on. In his tell-all, he talks about what a victim he always was of his parents, of the position. And now at this point, I just feel like he's like, I've been victimized this long. I am taking this freaking throne. It is mine. This is why I've had to suffer. I am not giving this up. That's how I see it.
He's
so there's no what you don't you disagree entirely with what I said earlier, that there's got to be part of him who's just like, let me just do this for 5 years and then be with Cammy. That's not a thing, really.
That's I don't just think me talking so. Shit.
I mean, the way I see it, it's just like, he's like, I went through all this hell. I've suffered my whole life.
Yeah.
I deserve this crown. I deserve to have the word king in front of my name. And Camilla, which, like, Camilla deserves to have the word queen in front of her name, I think is something that he very, very, very badly wanted. He supposedly negotiated that with the queen, partly with some sort of trade over Andrew and paying off his bills and so on.
He's right. She does deserve it. I'm sorry. We've said this before. She deserves the Nobel, the Peabody, the Kennedy Center honor. I mean, this is she. When you talk about being in it the long game, I mean, she sets a goal. This bitch is queen. I can't believe it.
She is a role model for side pieces everywhere. I will give that.
Of the millennium.
Yes,
forever.
Like, no forever. One. That's who every you put the woman on British money. She deserves it. She has actually worked. This is a member of the royal family who has busted their ass. Because you know what? I think having sex with King Charles one time would be like a night in Guantanamo. Can you imagine 40
all the
years
time.
Of this?
Having to do give like, her the crown. Dirty talk on the phone about tampons? Like, think about that.
She did have to put up with that. I wouldn't want to put up with that.
I think she liked it, though. That's the worst part. That's the worst part of the whole thing.
In
I think
many
she
ways.
Oh, boy.
I think you're right, Chris. I think she does
game,
genuinely. I do think that we joke around. There is something very fucked up about it, but I do think that they love each other genuinely.
Well, in like, and not for nothing, like if I had to put myself in his shoes, like I do understand his point of view of him thinking that he's a victim. Like I feel that all of their views are very myopic and very, very narrow. Like they have a very narrow view of what the world is really like. Hence in Harry and Meghan's episode, it said Harry should just like do household chores since he has no idea how to do any of them.
He has nothing to compare
you know,
to.
Like, that would be a show. Like they don't know how anything works in the world. So it's like, I do see where he thinks that. Do I think that he's right? No. But like, I do understand his point of view of being like, I have literally waited and been the butt of the joke forever, like to finally be this. And now I'm finally going to be it and I'm going to do it.
But didn't he look miserable though too when he was being coronated too? But did you notice Camilla looked really excited?
She looked great.
She looked so excited.
Happy as a clam, as they say.
Yes. Yes.
You are seeing, I mean, literally the only when Lea Michele finally got to appear in Funny Girl, only then has a person actually been happier than Camilla Parker Bowles was on Coronation Day. It took me a minute to get there and many outtakes that the public will not hear, but Kristen, thank you for sitting through all of that. No, she's a hero. She is a hero to a certain person. That is,
she is
hero.
A hero.
And make no mistake, that is work. That is work.
Is okay. I pose a question. Will they? Can they ever recover from the tampon gate? Like, can they ever recover? Like, I know we're about to probably try to fix them, but like, is there even a path forward?
No. In their obituaries, tampon will be a word that will be printed in every obituary when they're gone. Mm-hmm. They're never going to be able to escape it. I mean, can you imagine an obituary that didn't mention that? Of course it's going to be there. They will never escape it.
The task is to fix. So you always go first.
Okay. Charles and Camilla are going to start an OnlyFans page.
Ooh. Yes. 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 Yes.
Obviously, they're not going to have sex on camera. Not one human being is going to want to see that. However, it is going to be like a press bonanza. And like, they're going to start an OnlyFans. They're starting an OnlyFans. We all know they're starting an OnlyFans. Like, it's going to be all over the press. And then what I want them to actually do is like, that's the way that he's connecting to like the most staunch like supporters of his is like through his OnlyFans. And like here or there, they'll have like a video where you just get to see like them in the like palace, like do like eating for two seconds.
I thought you were going to say nude.
No, God, no, no. Dominic, they want to gain subscribers, not.
Well, sure.
And then I think what they do is like, you get to see little pockets of like what they do in the palace, like on OnlyFans, but then it's a way for them to like continue to just make money because, and it like, it's them, it's the ultimate them trying to be young and relevant and it be a joke on purpose. And they're in on the joke rather than being the butt of the joke. And mm-hmm. I think it lets, it has everyone else like kind of let up on them. Will there be like a box of Tampax behind Camilla at one point, like just randomly as she's like saying something and then it goes away? Like, yes. Will like, they'll be talking on the phone doing like little subtle nods to all the things that we've like destroyed them over. And they in their own way get to like make fun of themselves for the first time ever and like deflate Tampon Gate that way.
Sure.
Because they're still fighting against Tampon Gate, in my opinion. Like they're still just the people. Like if I called my mom up right now and was like, what do you think of Charles and Camilla? She would be like, remember when they were like talking dirty on the phone and it was disgusting?
Sure.
And I'd be like, yes. Like that's what, you know what I mean? Like everyone think every that's all anyone remembers about them. And so it's like they have to get over that. And they've spent 30 years not addressing it or trying to like combat it. And so they're finally gonna like take that down and then they can move forward with the public of the world.
Now, is the money that people are paying to follow them on OnlyFans, is that going to somehow go back to the people or will they have to pay taxes on that money?
You
please,
know,
please.
If I was smarter, I would have said yes. So like I could have had that in my original pitch, but yes, it should absolutely go to like something that's not them so that we would all sign up. Like the three of us would 100% sign up if they had an OnlyFans and we knew that like the money was going somewhere good and we had no idea what it was going to be. Correct?
Yeah.
If there were nudity, yes.
maybe like to help the energy crisis, to like any of the myriad of problems in the UK they could just address with that money.
Nice.
And that's my pitch.
Nice.
Charles, Chuck and Cammy, let's call first of all phase one of this rehab is they are only to be known as Chuck and Cammy. I need to see them almost as the sitcom version of Royals, which leads me to phase two, which is Cammy needs to do what women of a certain age who are survivors and may have fallen out of favor. She needs to do what all of those women do, and she needs to go to the gays. So what she needs to do is be a full-on, she needs to start showing up at gay clubs on the weekend. She needs to start getting involved, like Diana, with gay charities, with HIV AIDS charities, almost as, of course people would be like, oh, she's trying to imitate her. She's like, I'm not trying to imitate anyone. It would almost be respectful if she continued the work of Diana and then just went full on, but I mean gay camp. I mean, she's showing up on talk shows. She is selling a wig version of her hair for charity for Halloween. Wait,
that should just be the pitch right there.
This is what she needs to do. And her being this way is going to make people like the king better. And they might actually appeal to a younger demographic. She needs to sort of become Karen Walker from Will and Grace as the queen with an idiot husband that she complains about all the time who you never see. King Charles is just Stan from Will and Grace. That's it. He's just Karen Walker's husband now. And she could win hearts and minds. Go to the gays. Start there. We are a very forgiving people. We love old ladies. I mean, that, especially rich ones. So I would just start there with the career rehab. Get out, party. Just, you know, we know that she's a saucy broad. Just bring it. Let her be who we know she is. She can still be queen and act like Karen Walker.
Nice.
Dominic, that's a beautiful pitch.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Kristen.
Will you be deciding between these pitches or do you believe you have one better?
My pitch is that Charles and Camilla, they can't refashion themselves. They can't rehab their image. The only thing they can do is lean in to what we already think they are. And to that end, I think Charles needs to be the new spokesperson for Ashley Madison.
No.
Have an affair. Oh my, why not? God. And while he is doing that, Camilla needs to lean in and be the star of The Real Housewives of Clarence House or The Real Housewives of Kensington Palace. Be that bitch. Be that person whose hair is a little bit weird. Be that person who maybe is terrible to her stepkids. You know, be that person. Lean in all the way. And, you know, if that means being bitchy, so be it. If that means she's drinking gin all day, enjoy it. But be that mess. Be the mess that we all really think you are, Camilla. And Charles, enjoy your new job being the spokesperson for Ashley Madison. Lean in. Wow. Don't try to rehab. Just lean in.
I mean, imagine a reboot of Ladies of London on Bravo with Camilla as the head. Now that what's her name's in Dubai, like imagine Camilla is the center.
Wait, can we just talk about the guest coming on and giving the circus pitch instead of one of us?
Yes,
we always have one reasonable, one circus pitch.
I know.
You are fully circusing.
You're more circus than both of us combined. And I said they should do an OnlyFans.
I just think sometimes in the face of whatever catastrophe it is, we should, we just do better leaning in. Why deny it? Why rehab it? Just lean into whatever that thing is. We've seen people do it over the years to great ends. Why not do it, Charles and Camilla or Chuck and Cammy? Chuck and Cammy, lean into that. Mm-hmm. Just lean in. It's funnier when people lean in. People see that you have a sense of humor about yourself. And, you know, it keeps the interest alive.
They're basically this Osbournes, but in Kensington Palace. Like, that's what you want them to be.
Yeah, just lean into it. Be it all the way. Do it all
the way. This is a tough one. I think that all three of these pitches are pretty good. If I'm being serious, like Kristen's is a real contender. What do you think about opening? What if we do something unprecedented?
Oh, here we go. This is what we love to do.
And open it up and open it up to a vote to the public. What if we let everyone decide which of these pitches they like the best?
Okay, if we do that, I like this idea. Okay, here's what I was going to say, and we can cut all this part out. I was going to say that if she was going to come on with like a I'm an expert pitch and like here's exactly what they needed to do and from my expert opinion, then I would say I think that we should disqualify. You can't do that. You know what I mean? Like she should be disqualified from winning. However, she did a garbage piece of garbage trash pitch like the rest of us. So then that brings her back into the fold.
We're not cutting that, by the way.
We are not cutting that.
Because that very reasonable rationale is important for the listeners to hear.
Okay, after much deliberation, we have decided in an unprecedented move.
Unprecedented.
The public is going to decide which of these is going to be the winner. The way that we're going to decide this is by putting it on our brand new Fixing Famous People Instagram account.
Oh,
you can go to any
sounded sexy.
If you go to any of our Instagrams or our stories, you can find the Fixing Famous People Instagram account. And in the stories will be a poll of who should win this pitch.
You are deciding the winner. You, our listeners, are the experts. So please come and vote either on my Insta story or Chris's Insta story, and or please come and join the brand spanking new Fixing Famous People Instagram page. It can be found at, grab a pen, at Fixing Famous People.
And at the end of that poll, we're going to find out who wins.
Oh, and then are you going to announce it on the next episode of the show?
Absolutely.
We will announce it on the next episode of the show. We might have to have you back for like 2 minutes just to like
to accept your award.
Yeah, we might have to have you possibly accept your award if you win. So you might have to open your schedule for like 2 minutes for us.
Please, yes.
And we're going to announce it on that. That's what we're going to do. And we absolutely did not have this planned at the beginning of this episode. P.S.
So let's give our listeners like a one sentence reminder of what everyone's pitch is. Mine is for Charles to just remain bumbling and for Camilla to go to the gays to help them rehab her, make her a little bit Diana-ish. And a little more of a campy version of herself and use that to make people start loving the monarchy again, turning herself into Karen Walker.
Let's not forget, you also proposed that they adopt the new names Chuck and Cammy.
Chuck and Cammy, yeah, that's, to be relatable, that's, which is big, yeah,
very
that's
important.
That's it, right.
Mine was that they should start an OnlyFans page where they just like talk to people and like do weird little videos that like mean nothing, but they make fun of themselves about the tampon gate and then they can somehow get over tampon gate and like continue on with their professional lives. And Kristen's?
Mine is that Charles and Camilla, AKA Chuck and Cammy, lean in to the distasteful things that we all think about them anyway. So Charles, rather than just being two-time Charles, be two-time Charles, who is also the spokesperson for Ashley Madison, the website you go to if you want to have an affair. And Camilla, you are now going to star as a real housewife of Kensington Palace or something along those lines, where you're drunk, where you're reckless, and where you don't care about anybody else's feelings.
I didn't think we were leaving this episode this way. I won't lie to you all.
I didn't know how we were leaving it. I really didn't.
I love a cliffhanger. I'm super excited about this. I'm into it.
Do you think that what we're doing here will somehow end up on the upcoming season of The Crown?
Oh, most likely. I mean, Charles and Camilla are probably listening to the show right now, thinking about like, how do we want this to play out? Who do we want to play ourselves in this episode? Yeah.
Mm. I hope that we end up in some sort of coronation press montage in the season, in the series finale. God, that would be fantastic.
So funny. All right. So, I mean, we're going to find out. We're going to be hitting the boards. We're hitting the polls and like go vote, everyone. And then we will see you next week at the beginning and we're going to crown a winner.
Kristen, thank you so much for coming on and for reaching out and for chatting with us beforehand, which was how we ended up doing Chuck and Cammy to begin with. It is a real pleasure having you on here.
Oh my gosh, it has been so much fun. Thanks for having me on. And for anybody listening who wants to hear more of my insights about the royals or the tabloids, check out my podcast, Daily Fail. I hope you check it out if you're interested.
And Kristen, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at Kristen Meinzer on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm at K10Meinzer. That's K10 Meinzer.
Dominic?
I can be found at my website, Dominterry.com, which will link you to all my socials at Dominic Pupa. And I will be performing my Pride show, Surprising No One, at The Cutting Room in New York on June 16th and 22nd. Please come to my website for tickets.
And you can see me there on the 22nd because I will be
there.
That's
right.
You guys can find me at The Krista Rosa. Please rate and review the show and let us know in your review who you want us to fix next. As always, I wish you both well. And where's Shelley? Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.